Welcome to the Malloy program on Nova M Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you're going to stick around for as much of the program tonight as you can stand. That's all I ever ask. You don't have to stay here for the whole thing, just as much as you can handle. For some people, that's like 8 minutes. Richard Wright, founding member of Pink Floyd, died today. He was 65. His family said the cause of death was cancer. They did not want to give more details about his death. It was Richard Wright, Roger Waters, Nick Mason, and Syd Barrett who formed the band Pink Floyd in 1965. I mention this because I like Pink Floyd. I like their music. And I don't know. I just thought I would mention it. Okay? Waters, Mason, Barrett, Wright, and David Gilmour were the soul of Pink Floyd. In 2005, they all split up, of course. 2005, they got back together. Richard Wright, Roger Waters, Nick Mason, and David Gilmour reunited to perform at the Live 8 charity concert in London. So Richard Wright, 65, one of the founding members of Pink Floyd, dead today. I saw this today, and it just reminds me of my deep and abiding contempt and disgust for religion. This is Islam. Saudi Arabia's top judiciary official has issued a religious decree. I guess that would be a fatwa, huh? Saying it is permissible. Now, it's not that I disagree with this. It's just that it comes from a religious freak. It is permissible to kill the owners of satellite TV networks that broadcast immoral content. You can track them down and kill them. Does this mean that Rupert Murdoch now is in jeopardy? Sheikh Salah al-Lahidan said a couple of days ago that satellite channels cause, quote, the deviance of thousands of people, end quote. Unlike you, huh, Sheikh? Associated Press reports that most of the popular Arab satellite networks, which include channels showing videos often denounced as obscene by Muslim conservatives. Most of those Arab satellite networks are owned by Saudi princes and well-connected Saudi businessmen. Now, the 79-year-old sheikh, the top judiciary official, that means the most insane religious nutbag in Saudi Arabia, did not specify any particular channels. He just said, well, it is permissible to kill the owners of these satellite TV networks. This guy happens to be chief of the kingdom of Saudi Arabia's highest tribunal, the Supreme Judiciary Council. This is a collection of medieval freaks who allow beheading for people who, women who show up at the supermarket without a male escort or something. It's insane. It's insane. The Saudis, Arabia's judiciary is made up of these Islamic clerics whose decrees are widely respected. Feared would be a better word. Well, I guess that's what respected means. this freak was answering, this Sheikh Salah al-Hidan was answering listeners' questions during a radio program that's on every day called Light in the Path. This is Light in the Path, in which he and others make rulings on what is permissible under Islamic law. One caller asked about Islam's view of the owners of satellite TV channels that show, quote, bad programs, end quote, during Ramadan. And the Sheikh said, I want to advise the owners of these channels who broadcast calls for such indecency and impudence, and I warn them of the consequences. He went on to say, what does the owner of these networks think when he provides seduction, obscenity, and vulgarity? He added, those calling for corrupt beliefs, certainly it's permissible to kill them. Those calling for sedition, those who are able to prevent it but don't, it is permissible to kill them. Now, among the most viewed Arabic satellite network is one called Rotana, which airs movies and music videos. It is owned by Prince Al-Walid bin Talal, a billionaire businessman and member of the royal family. Forbes magazine ranks bin Talal as the world's 13th richest person. Does this mean it's permissible to kill him? These people are nuts. They're just crazy. They're just out of their minds. These religious fanatic freaks, out of their minds. I'll tell you the best way to handle it, Mr. Sheikh. If you don't like the videos and the garbage on television, and who does, turn it off. Very simple. You know what happened on Wall Street today. 500-point drop. Worst session since the market opened, what, September 16th, 2001, after being closed for 5 days after the attacks, 17th, 18th, whenever it was. In a briefing in D.C. today, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson said the financial markets were going through a tough time as, in his words, we work off some of the past excesses. Really? Excesses? But he said Americans could remain confident in the soundness and the resilience of our financial system. Really? You really mean that, Henry? Huh? Henry said, let me step back a bit and provide a little perspective. As I've long said, the housing correction is at the root of the challenges facing our markets and our financial institutions. That is a lie. That is an absolute lie. What is at the root of the problems, Mr. Paulson? And you know this, but you are a lying son of a bitch because of who you work for and what you do. The root of the problem goes all the way back to Ronald Reagan, the deregulation of everything, including the financial markets, the belief that pull out all the oversight organizations, institutions, all the regulatory agencies, and let the capitalists do as they feel like doing. If it means sinking the housing market, which in turn sinks everything else, well, oh, okay. And then when bailout time comes because of these predatory bastards on Washington, and trust me, they represent the purest form of capitalism. You're not seeing anything but the purest form of capitalism. Capitalism is based on lies. It is based on deception. It is based on greed. And it is based on winners and losers. And the winners and losers have nothing to do with effort. It has to do with your ability to manipulate, your ability to put together huge amounts of resources, which you then use to manipulate markets. This is not the invisible hand that Adam Smith talked about. This is somebody with a goddamn machine gun pointing it at all of us and saying, give me your money and give it to me. Now, that's what they're talking about. So I say, let the whole stinking mass collapse. Bring it all down. And the next time, if we decide to build this stinking mess again, let us beware 20 or 25 years from now from the next dumb bastard who steps up and says, well, let's deregulate everything. Let the free market determine. Huh? The free market determines nothing because there is no free market and there hasn't been since roughly the 1850s. But you try to tell that to the average knuckle-dragging American, and they just say, well, you know, it was Bill Clinton's fault. He did it. Yeah, that's what happened. It was Bill Clinton.
Their shareholders and friends. My bad. Go ask those guys at Halliburton. I'll scratch your... We can't afford our gasoline. The prices have become obscene. Unleaded regular, forget about Supreme. We can't afford our gasoline. We can't afford our gasoline. The prices have become obscene. You'll get screwed at the pump, so bring your Vaseline. We can't afford our gasoline.
Look at Harkin. The SEC released documents, and the key document said there's no case.
Oh, yeah? Is that what the SEC said? No case against your former little Harkin? Well, you never know, George. You never know.
There was no malfeasance, no attempt to hide anything. It was just a... accounting firm making a decision as to how to account for a complex transaction.
We'd like to give you a complex transaction, believe me. Jack writes, Mike, by now you've no doubt seen today's stock market. Of course you have, and everything is splendid. The economy is just experiencing a slowdown. Ain't that right, Mike? That's what they tell us. Credulous America hasn't a clue. Many whose 401ks could very well be worthless. Wait until they begin the run on the banks. They'll be in for quite a huge, as Gomer Pyle would say, surprise, surprise, surprise. What time do you think the revolution's going to start? Caribou Barbie had a few things to say about the meltdown in Golden, Colorado today. This is how the beauty queen talks about today's hideous Wall Street crisis. This is scary. She spends a couple of seconds talking about shaking up Washington and stopping big CEO paychecks, then switches to cheerleader on methamphetamine mode, appropriate, I guess, since Wasilla, Alaska is the meth capital of the Western world.
We're taking our case for reform to voters of every background. In every party, or no party at all. And with your vote, we're going to Washington to shake things up.
Yeah!
Guys and gals, our regulatory system is outdated,
and it needs
a complete overhaul. Washington, Washington has been asleep at the switch and ineffective, and management on Wall Street has not run these institutions responsibly and has put companies and markets at risk. They place their own interests first instead of their employees and the shareholders who actually own these companies.
What?
So John McCain and I, we're going to put an end to the mismanagement and abuses in Washington and on Wall Street that have resulted in this financial crisis.
How are you going to do it?
It's so important that the United States, we've got to remain the strongest financial market in the world.
Goddamn
it
right.
It must be the market that the American people and investors everywhere can trust.
Yeah.
So restoring the integrity and the confidence and the leadership in our markets and in our government is essential.
God damn. Oops, excuse me. Yeah, you're right. Your case for reform. Can you give us one specific maybe? What about the Federal Reserve? What are your plans for the Federal Reserve? What about the question regarding government bonds? The what if the bond market tanks? How do you feel, Governor, about the relationship between the euro and the dollar, and the fact that so many of these oil bourses around the world are switching to euros? Give us some specifics, would you, there, Tina?
In what regard, Charlie?
Lay it out for us. Stop spouting one-liners and tell us your economical planning. You can see Wall Street from where you're at. So that makes you an expert, right? Oh, God, stop me before I say something that'll get me arrested about this woman. Palin then continued her speech. Remember, she's going to outline the McCain-Palin plan for economic reform. Keep that in mind. Here she goes. This is what a Sarah Palin speech on economic reform sounds like.
To be here with you in Jefferson County, which is the beautiful gateway to the Rocky Mountains. It's gorgeous here.
Yeah.
Kind of selfish here also. It's great to be in the state that Denver Bronco Chris Cooper and another son of Alaska, Mark Schlereth, he helped the Broncos win the Super Bowl in 98 and 99.
Yeah.
So we got that connection. And Alaskans, we like winning. And with Colorado's help, we're going to keep that streak going. It's why we're here with
stock
your
market.
Help. We're going to elect John McCain, the next president of the United States of America.
Stock market.
I appreciate being here. I feel like I am home. I think, as
stock
Governor
market.
Said, we've got a lot in common. These Western states, you know, we hold together and we pull together.
Here, pull
somebody
this.
From one of those Western states.
Stock market.
In Alaska. I want to introduce to you my husband, Todd Palin. Alaska's first dude is a commercial
first
fisherman.
Dude.
He's a blue-collar production operator
oh,
up in the
Jesus
oil fields
Christ.
Of Alaska's North Slope.
Kill me. Kill me.
That's
now.
Four-time winner of the Iron Dog race.
Woo!
That's the world's longest and toughest snow machine race.
Yeah.
Todd's also a proud member of the United Steelworkers Union, and
yeah.
he's a great dad.
Yeah, he
is. 50 days, Colorado, it's going to be a hard-fought contest
yeah.
here, especially in Colorado.
Stock market.
But John McCain and I, we are ready, and with your help, we are going to win.
Stock
and
market.
I thank you in advance for that, Colorado.
Stock market.
Stock market. Does Todd have any money he could give us? Stock market! Stock market!
I want to introduce my husband, Alaska's first dude. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, help me. Moses. Buddha. Allah. Walt Disney. Help me.
And that's the reason that my good looks and my figure is gone.
And that's the reason that I ain't got no hair to comb.
And you're the reason our kids are ugly.
C'est si bon de partir n'importe où. Bras dessus, bras dessous, en chantant des chansons.
In the corporate world, sometimes things aren't exactly black and white when it comes to accounting procedures.
Oh, really? What are they, chuckle nuts? Now, McCain was campaigning his little bumpy ass off today. This time in Jacksonville, Florida, the Filthy Liar Express moves on. See now, John thinks, like all members of the delusional Bush crime family, thinks the economy is strong. That's what he thinks. Palin is holding a pep rally for her hubby, the first dude of Alaska, and McCain is touting the fundamentals of this train wreck of an economy. And there are millions of Americans who are actually going to vote for these freaks.
You know that there's been tremendous turmoil in our financial markets and Wall Street. And people are frightened by these events. Our economy, I think, still, the fundamentals of our economy are strong, but these are very, very difficult times. And I promise you, we will never put America in this position again. We will clean up Wall Street. We will reform government.
Yeah, how and when? I will fly tomorrow morning, John McCain, at 9 o'clock. I will climb up on the roof of my house, and I will spread my arms, and I will fly from my house to the nearest public supermarket where I will buy a bag of oats. I will then climb up on the roof of the Publix supermarket, and I will fly with my bag of oats to the nearest farm, where I will find a winged unicorn, sort of a Pegasus-type creature. And I will feed my bag of oats to the Pegasus, and I will climb on its back, and together we will fly to... What? You don't believe any of this? You bumpy-faced old bastard, why don't you just go away? Please! Now, while these two freaks are talking about the first dude... Hey, the first dude... Oh, damn, that's my husband. He's the first dude of Alaska. You know what? He is. Oh, Christ. Please, please, let there be a God. Smite these people. Smite them, please. Well, while these two freaks are roaming across the fruited plain, talking their nonsense, Barack Obama... he wasn't in Grand Junction, Colorado today. That was Palin, I think. Was that him? Huh? Open.
Sarah was in Golden.
And he was
about the first dude, and he was in Grand Junction.
Okay.
And McCain, you have to use little pinpoints on the map. McCain was in Jacksonville, Florida.
So Obama here strikes back at the McCain, Palin, know-nothings, and their non-existent economic plan.
I want to be clear. It's not that I think John McCain doesn't care what's going on in the lives of most Americans. I just think he doesn't know.
And he doesn't care.
He doesn't get what's happening between the mountain in Sedona where he lives and the corridors of power where he works. Why else would he say that we've made great progress economically under George Bush? Why else would he say that the economy isn't something he understands as well as he should? Why else would he say today, of all days, just a few hours ago? Think about this. We just woke up to news of financial disaster, and this morning he said that the fundamentals of the economy are still strong. Senator McCain, what economy are you talking about? What's more fundamental than the ability to find a job that pays the bills and that can raise a family? What's more fundamental than knowing that your life savings is secure, and that you can retire with dignity? What's more fundamental than knowing that you'll have a roof over your head at the end of the day? What's more fundamental than that?
Well, actually, nothing. Actually, nothing. But I'll tell you what, Senator Obama, do you realize what it is you're trying to inherit? Do you realize what you're going to face, you and Biden, when you are elected president? You do? Okay. Barbara writes, hi, Mike. Well, I'm sure you've heard this before, but I've already made concrete plans to go to Canada. I feel in my heart Obama will lose. Americans have been voting against their economic interests since 1980, so there's no reason for them to stop now. Clinton only made it because of Ross Perot. Clinton only got elected because of Ross Perot. Yet again, Americans will be rewarding bad behavior. They will be rewarding the banks and war profiteers, the outsourcers and the religious fanatics. They will be encouraging more corporate power. After all of this, corporations will have permission to go hog wild. The New Deal will be dead. After all that corporate America has wrought on the American public, from low pensions to low wages, and we still vote the same bastards in. Imagine a 72-year-old man, John McCain, and a woman who consistently votes against other women's interests. God, what is happening is so sick. We keep hearing about ways the Republicans are going to steal this election, yet what's being done about it? My plan is to get to Canada. My plan to get to Canada will come at a price, but the opportunity is here. I'm barely making ends meet right now. It is a struggle every day. It used to be just toward the end of the month, but now it begins a week after I get my monthly paycheck. I'm going to get my master's degree and take out the maximum financial aid possible. I found the cheapest accredited master's program. I will pay off credit cards and the bank and all the rest of the financial aid, not going to tuition for the next 2 years. I have 6 months after getting that degree to begin paying it back. In the meantime, I will apply for a skilled worker permit to Canada since I meet their point system requirements. I have done quite a bit of research on Canada and have been researching expatriate experiences. I will also work a second job. I figure it would take about 2 years to get approved to get over there. I'm only 46 now. I'll be about 48 when I leave. The move will be very expensive, but worth it. Canadian workers see a rise of 6% every year in wages and salaries. There are many job openings in numerous fields. I expect that at the end of the McCain presidency, many people will have forgotten by then when our government did right by people. It will have been too long, since 1980, since we saw a government that truly did right by us. 30-plus years, a generation and a half of people who are dumbed down and have low expectations. It truly is the end of America. But I don't have time to mourn. I must stay focused. Mike, I have a huge fear that America will become embroiled in a huge conflict. Americans will only learn the lesson of what other countries have suffered at our hands by going through it themselves. That is how Germany and Japan learned, the hard way. And it looks as if that is how Americans will learn. Currently, they seem to have no awareness of Iraqi suffering or even our own soldiers' suffering. Only then will the hubris and arrogance dissipate. But it will come at a very great cost. I've always appreciated your show. I hope they carry it in Canada. Sincerely, Barbara. Well, yeah, you can get it in Canada. You can get it all over the world. You just have to stream it on the internet. And Tim writes, Mike, a retiree here, we lost one-third this year in our retirement funds. That means years of living time. No more money except our house, which costs $10,000 a year to keep up. What do you do when you're old and living on a fixed Social Security income, which buys less every month? Should I just take the two-thirds remaining and run? To what? Tim. Oh, my. Shifting gears a little bit, not really, but you know that train wreck that killed 20, no, the death toll I think is up to 26, the commuter train in California, could have been avoided if money had been spent for a safety device that prevents that kind of accident. But it would have taken several billion dollars to do that. The Republicans, of course, would rather spend tax money on corporate bailouts and war. Think about what we're in hock for now. To bail out these Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, or Fannie Mae and whatever the hell they are, and Bear Stearns, and all the rest of these, we're on the hook now for tens, if not hundreds of billions of dollars. The National Transportation Safety Board apparently has asked for this safety device for the past 30 years to make it nationwide. I think it's maybe in the Northeast. The Republicans have always said no. You always hear this. You're hearing it from McCain and Palin now. Prairie 2 writes, Mike, the Republican approach to governments killed another 26 Americans last week when the train blew through a red signal into the path of a freight train. The National Transportation Safety Board has for years tried to get Congress to mandate automatic shutdown switches for commuter trains. Since the detection devices are already trackside, it wouldn't be difficult to do. Resistance from Republicans in Congress could be described as much the same as encountering a 20,000-ton freight train at 20 or at 50 miles an hour. Speaking of an onrushing train, at least one major publication aimed at commodity traders has already said in an editorial that the debate among economists over the impending default of U.S. government bonds is not over whether this will happen, but what the ramifications will be. They claim some people think it might be a good thing if the U.S. can't borrow money. This may be true in theory, sort of like that freight train looks friendly, and oh boy, he's coming closer. The Republicans knew full well that if they did nothing, that sooner or later there would be a train wreck. But they don't ride the train. That's for poor people and liberals. They knew full well their economic policies would be an eventual train wreck. But they don't ride that train either.
Democrats strike without warning, so till you're back safe in bed. Wear a bucket on your head. That's what I said. And to show your support for right-wing ideology, the raids on Iraq and the rape of...
It's about 10 before the hour. Now, remember who is John McCain's chief financial advisor? It's Phil Graham. And it was Phil Graham during the 90s who led the Republicans. He was on, Senate Banking Committee, I think. He led the Republicans in the deregulation of financial markets. If there is one person, and this is really putting a fine point on it, but if you care to put a fine point on it, if there's one person who is formerly in government and now is on the board of UBS, who is responsible to some degree, to a larger degree than any other one person, for the financial mess this country is in right now, it'd be Phil Graham. Now, I realize that no one person could have done this because it takes somebody to unlock the gate, which is what Phil Graham did, and then it takes many other people to rush through with their herds of demons and their flamethrowers and their scythes and their poison to destroy everything that all the financial markets that so many people rely on in this country. On the other hand, it is so corrupt. This predatory capitalism has reached a point where it is so corrupt, it is so vile, it is so horrifying, except for the 0.1% and the upper stratospheric reaches of the wealthy class, who you know, the people that make $100 million, $200 million a year every year without fail. $50 million. But those people are so beyond, so immunized from anything that happens to the 99% of us who are not in that group, not in that bracket, to the degree that they don't feel anything. And the rest of us really suffer. We really suffer. The constant public bailouts of these filthy pig bastard corporations and the predatory organizations that run them. It's always us. We're the ones that always do it, right? Taxpayer dollars. We still are paying off the savings and loan debacle of the 80s that the Bush family had such a hand in. And even Phil Graham. All of these monstrous sons of bitches. Again, in different societies, most notably in China, but in Russia, too, during the golden years of Soviet-style communism. You know, somebody screws up like this. Somebody takes money or commits fraud. And they're taken out and executed. They might be given a quick show trial, but then they're shot in the back of the head, and then they're shot again, and their body is turned over to the family, and that's the end of it. You know that person is not going to do it again, which is the primary argument for people who believe in capital punishment. Well, we got that son of a bitch. She's never going to kill again. Okay. Why not apply that same theory to the people who have whose attitude toward Americans has been so middle fingerish that, you know, they don't care. These people don't care. They don't care. They don't care how many retirees are really severely left in financial straits. They don't care anything about single payer health insurance. You hear it every single day. Well, that's a government program. Well, you know, this and that. And yet these are the rat bastard filth that turned to the government every single time, the government being us, when their predatory practices get out of hand. Now, they don't have to return any money. Oh, these filthy son of a bitches who have taken all this money, who have collapsed this degenerate system, what, they're going to return anything? Come on, get real, get real, get real. Of course they don't. This is the kind of theft that is staggering. If you, tomorrow morning, walk into your nearest bank and make a face at the teller and reach through the cage, no gun in your hand, and steal $50, your ass is going to go to jail for a long time. A long time. But these corporate leaders, these CEOs, these financial people, who every single day write down the destruction of thousands of families, tens of thousands of families, hundreds of thousands, the jobs that are disappeared because of the inept handling of the economy, the financial resources that are gone, the savings, the 401ks, retirement plans, everything just flushed down the toilet. Except, of course, for theirs, they don't, you know, privatize profit and make public the debts and the obligations. We have been warned over the course of our history by leaders, by our own government leaders, presidents and people. Plus, history has been a teacher, too, that when When income disparity reaches these levels, you usually have revolution. Now, I'm not saying that Americans have the desire for revolution. We have been beat down for so long and lied to for so long. I watched some talk TV today and watched some of these McCain spokespeople talking about McCain's economic plan or how it's all the Democrats' fault or how this is left over from Clinton 8 years ago. And I just want to scream. There's no way to reach the 50% of Americans. There just isn't, who still believe in this corrupt, filthy, murderous Republican Party. There's no way to reach them at all. So this carries me right back to what I said a couple of months ago and really, truly freaked some of you people out. Of course, you know, it's very easy to be freaked out right now. But when I said, let McCain have it, just let the son of a bitch have it. Now, I realize that Palin is the wild card here. Palin is your typical right-wing fundamentalist Christian. She defers completely to men. The only thing she's saying out there on the campaign trail is what she has been taught. She's allowed to say, men are the ones who dictate to her, who control her, who tell her when to fart and how much air to let out of her body. That's what these fundamentalist women are like. So, yeah, this is a new wrinkle. On the other hand, with McCain as a psychopath and Palin as a religious freak, maybe if they do get elected, it will inspire the American people to make some fundamental changes by going to the fourth box. And, I don't know what to say anymore. I really don't. This is madness. This is totally madness. So anyway, we will continue the madness on this little old talk program when we come back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. I've gotten emails from people who are curious about, Todd Palin. Is that his name? The first dude. His involvement in the government of Alaska. His wife being the governor. How did Todd Palin have so much say-so in economic policies, in tax policies, and who gets fired and who doesn't? And The very simple answer to this: remember, Sarah Palin and her crew are members of this cult that is the fundamentalist Christian church, and in that cult, women are secondary, if that, to the male. They do only what they are told or allowed to do. And if they don't do it the way they are instructed, then they are either shunned or beaten to death or shot or tortured or divorced or what have you. So the quick answer to the involvement of Todd Palin in his wife's administration, nobody elected him to anything. But you see, he is male, and Sarah Palin in that crazed Christian hierarchy of this extreme right wing, Sarah Palin is to submit to the loving leadership of her husband. Period. There's no wiggle room here. There's no equivocation here. Sarah Palin is chattel. She is a slave in her own family. She does exactly what she is told by Todd Palin, by the elders in her church, by the sick, degenerate elders in the Christian right movement / Republican Party. So every time I start to feel that Sarah Palin has taken that one step beyond, and I just want to scream at her and be very angry, I have to remind myself of what sort of a miserable, caged life she really lives, caged in her mind. I doubt if Sarah Palin has ever had an original thought in her life that she was free to act upon. She is part of a cult that makes Scientology look like free thinkers. She is involved in this Armageddonist, Dominionist, Fundamentalist Christian church that is all about death and destruction, end times, slaughter the Jews, slaughter the Muslims, slaughter the gays, slaughter this one and that one, slaughter the non-believers. But as far as women are concerned in that cult, they are like women in fundamentalist Islam. They exist only through the good graces of their husbands. So, regarding the long email I read, the woman who was going to move to Canada, Lauren writes, Mike, in a few weeks our idiot population will be giving our right-wing government the majority they want, and we will move even further to the right. I can't figure why our destiny is so tied to yours. If your banks are failing due to the mortgage crisis, while our real estate increases in value, why did our stock exchange crash today as well? Our prime minister wants Obama to lose so badly he interfered with the Democratic primary by sending out the false message that Obama reassured him NAFTA was okay. There are better places to move if your emailer seeks democracy. We are on the way down. Lauren. Well, that's not a good thing to know. Five former U.S. Secretaries of State are urging talks with Iran. Huh? Talks. They said today that the next American administration should talk to Iran. You know, the country whose leadership George Bush has generally done nothing but call a part of the axis of evil and wants to nuke. These five diplomats said, quote, or not quote, but they said engaging Iran is important because the U.S.'s military options against Iran are unsatisfactory. And the secretaries of state worked for both Democratic and Republican nominations. They are, you talk about a gruesome group, Colin Powell, Madeleine Albright, Warren Christopher, James Baker, and Henry Kissinger. Jesus Christ. Do you know between those five people, there are probably 100 million dead people around the earth? Do you know that? Starting with Kissinger. Kissinger's been around so long that there are people dead in regional wars from the 50s that to a certain degree Kissinger had responsibility for. But Kissinger and Baker, Albright, Colin Powell, Warren Christopher, he was Jimmy Carter's Secretary of State, right? Of this group of five, I guess Warren Christopher has the least amount of blood on his hands and in his pants cuffs and in his bloomers. But James Baker, Henry Kissinger, Colin Powell, and Madeleine Albright, a group of gangster corporate killers, if ever a group existed. There they are, ladies and gentlemen. Big hand for these four. They all said they favored talking to Iran as part of a strategy to stop the development of in that country of a nuclear weapons program. Warren Christopher, he worked for Clinton. Okay, sorry. That's what it said here. I just saw Christopher, who worked for former President Bill Clinton from 93 to 97, said, quote, frankly, the military options are very poor. We don't want to go down that route, end quote. Colin Powell said U.S. officials in Bush's first term had held low-level talks with the Iranians until 2003, quote, and then it was stopped, end quote. Let's see, who else was involved with this? Anyway, dealing with Iran, of course, has become an issue in, well, to a few people, not to the Palin-McCain crowd. The Palin-McCain crowd just says, kill the bastards, kill them all, kill the sons of bitches, we don't care, bomb them all, we don't care. Nuclear war, nuclear war, drill, 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 nuclear war, nuclear war. Anyway, it's become an issue with certain voters in the next election. And Obama and, of course, McCain are arguing over Obama's stated readiness to talk with Ahmadinejad and other U.S. adversaries if elected. McCain has criticized that position, saying it shows naivety and inexperience. Well, I wonder if McCain will extend that to Colin Powell, Madeleine Albright, Warren Christopher, James Baker, and Henry Kissinger being inexperienced and naive. If there's one thing that group of five former U.S. state secretaries are not, it is inexperienced and naive. These are world-class killers, John. They were responsible, in part, for your getting your ass shot down and held in prison for however long you were held in a POW camp. Certainly Henry Kissinger was. So revise and extend your remarks, John, do you want to include these five secretaries of state who are now recommending the same thing that Barack Obama recommends? Oh, Jesus. And of course, you know, we cut our diplomatic ties with Iran in 1980 after the U.S.-backed pig, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, was tossed out of office in the revolution. And the only reason the Shah was in office, Pahlavi, the only reason he was in office is because we put him there in 1953 when we overthrew the government of Iran, literally overthrew it. They had their own prime minister, leader, Mohammad Mossadegh. But what Mossadegh was going to do was to nationalize some of the British American oil companies that had started exploring for oil in Iran after World War II. So, and prior to World War II. So, you know, if you go back far enough in every area where we are hated, it is because we went into these countries and committed murder on a scale that some freak ass like Sarah Palin couldn't even imagine if somebody held it up in front of her face and said, look, this is what we've done. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Things like working really, really hard to get a natural gas pipeline, about a $30 billion project. I'd welcome the chance
to meet my maker and fly into the sun. It's 21 past the hour. Fly into the sun. Regarding the meltdown that is occurring in our financial system, the Institute for Public Accuracy has some quotes out here from a couple of people who understand this issue to a far a greater degree than you and I do. James Galbraith, who is a professor at the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs, University of Texas at Austin, he writes today, or he said today, quote, revolutions devour their children. Deregulation has been the public faith of the financial sector since Reagan. Under Bush 2 waves of predatory finance in housing were aggressively promoted by Alan Greenspan and by McCain's closest economic advisor, Phil Graham, and by so-called regulators who systematically subverted the public interest. For a year, the Fed and the Treasury have been propped up or have been propping up the markets in the hope that the system would recover on its own. It will not. And today's collapse of Lehman Brothers should mark the end of that mindset. Yeah, this remember, this started in with the election of Ronald Reagan. And here we are 28 years later. And look at the damage that has been done. And the pig, the lipstick pig, and Lumpy Boy, the Republican ticket, are screaming for deregulation. You know, got to shake up the regulatory agencies. What that means, coming out of the mouth of a Christian cultist and John McCain, what that means is further demolish the regulatory agencies that are supposed to have oversight on just about every function of government and every function of the markets. It has to be that way. If it is not, if there is not oversight, if there is not regulation, regulatory agencies, then capitalism very quickly degenerates into a predatory system of worse than what you would find in the most primitive of jungles, where the larger animals eat the small ones, period, end of story. There's no compromise. And if there are no regulatory agencies in government, the government almost overnight becomes fascist. It is the nature of capitalism to devour everything in its path. It is anti-family, it is anti-human, it is anti-life, it is anti-child, it is anti-old person, it is anti-young person, it's anti-everything capitalism is. The same applies for unrestricted government. When government is left to its own devices completely, with no oversight, this was the genius that the framers, when they put this together, in spite of all the problem, missteps they had, or the problems that they built into the Constitution, like racial equality for one thing, or gender equality, in spite of all that, they had the right idea that there must be checks and balances, because they understood without checks and balances, it goes immediately to monarchy or to fascism. Although I don't think they had the word fascism in the 1700s, but it goes to that form almost instantly, almost overnight. So the three branches of government that the Bush crime family, the Clinton crime family, the Bush 1 crime family, and the Reagan crime family tried mightily to destroy. Now we are reaping the results of all that destruction. In government, we are also reaping the results of that destruction in regulating a capitalism. There must be the department of this and the agency of that and the oversight here and the governing board there. Because without those agencies, or if those agencies are gutted the way they have been in the past 25 years, this is what results. There's no debate here. There's no left-right. There's no conservative-liberal. There's no God or demon. This is simply what happens. This is it. You're looking at it. And yes, it's going to get worse and worse and worse before it gets better. That's where we are. And it's the Republicans who have done this to us. Clinton skated along with his filthy triangulation. Clinton could have stopped this. He could have vetoed this stuff. But Clinton is a sick son of a bitch who all Clinton ever wanted to do was to get approval, to be patted on the head and say, well, you're a good boy after all. Even though daddy's a drunk and mom's a psychopath, you're a good boy after all. So that was Clinton's contribution to this. I'm not saying Clinton was as predatory and sick and degenerate as these Republican administrations, these three Republican administrations, Pappy Bush, Junior Bush, and Reagan. No, Clinton wasn't. But what Clinton was a goddamn coward. That's all he was, a coward, a sneak, and a liar. But the Republicans, if you take a look at what we've been handed here, you know, call the American economy Galveston, if you like. Wouldn't that be pretty much appropriate?
as temples roar. But God, I wish the grass would turn to money, and then them greenbacks would fill.
Do you agree with the Bush Doctrine?
In what respect, Charlie?
The Bush... Well, what do you interpret it to be?
His worldview.
In what respect, Charlie? Charlie? What respect, Charlie? Hey, Charlie.
Doug Henwood, who is author of the book Wall Street and editor of Left Business Observer, said today, quote, "The weekend's financial emergency and Wall Street's Monday swoon in reaction to it are further proof that the housing bust and its fallout just won't go away. Every time it looks like there's been a resolution, whether it's Bear Stearns, Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, there's only more to come. This melodrama has more false endings than a bad horror movie. The authorities are scrambling for solutions, improvising as they go along. My guess is that this has more to run, and the structural problems of the U.S. economy, which includes maldistribution of income, excessive borrowing, energy profligacy, etc., are the underlying causes. Until those are addressed, we're going to face years of financial problems, economic stagnation, an eroding job market, and strains on living standards. And it looks like we're exporting these problems to the rest of the world. But our political system seems unable to discuss these issues seriously." Yeah. The media in this country and the McCain campaign and this program, the one you're listening to right now, spends an inordinate and unrealistic amount of time talking about lipstick on a pig, how many houses McCain has, to what degree Cindy McCain is still a junkie, and whether or not Sarah Palin is, or not whether or not, but the fact that Sarah Palin is a member of a religious cult. But how do we not discuss that kind of stuff, given the fact that these psychopaths want to run the country further into the ditch? I guess it's time to take some phone calls. Oh yeah, Bush had a little soundbite thing this morning at his morning meeting of his advisors in cabinet, and he, according to the Wall Street Journal, "President George W. Bush sought to reassure the public and investors that markets remain sound in public comments on the unfolding financial market troubles that reflected concern within the administration about the potential effect on the crisis on public confidence. Mr. Bush said the changes sweeping through financial markets, quote, can be painful both for people concerned about their investments and for employees, end quote, of the firms that have been hit. But the president said, quote, in the long run, I'm confident that our capital markets are flexible and resilient and can deal with these adjustments, end quote. Oh, my God. John writes, Mike, the Republicans are like an abusive spouse. They beat the hell out of the country for 4 years, then promise to reform when the cops arrive. But as soon as the cops are gone, they're back to beating the hell out of the country for another 4 years. The phone number here is 800-989-1480. We're going to come to your calls here as soon as I read this one from Barbara. Mike, the most nauseating example of Sarah Palin's psychotic hypocrisy for me involves her flight back home to see her son Track off to Iraq and the accompanying media display thereof. In the ABC Charles Gibson interview, Palin refers to her son's choice of service to his country, service to something larger than himself, which is the smarming rhetoric of warmongers. In fact, as Palin damn well knows, and Charles Gibson knows, and millions of people know, Track Palin is off to Iraq because he and a bunch of drunk buddies vandalized a fleet of school buses, including, according to some online reports, severing their brakes. And the judge gave Track the choice, join the army or go to jail. The thing greater than himself that Track chose was keeping his ass out of jail, with perhaps some bellicose persuasion from his mom. The fact that Palin can twist this ignoble data into yet one more instance of her God-appointed readiness to be America's VP/mom is stunning confirmation of her religious psychosis. She really does lie for God 24/7. Sarah Palin has five children, and three of them, the Down syndrome newborn, the pregnant teen, the delinquent son, have already, in two brief weeks, been used as perverse makeover props for her political image, for John McCain and the Republican Party's diseased political ambition. One watches this family like one watches a horror movie, where the kids are fed one by one into the monster's gullet as a sacrifice to evil power. Poor Willow, poor Piper. They'd be better off to go live in the forest with the wolves. Barbara. Yeah, I'm so sick of this this Palin family. I could just scream. And let us please keep in mind what Sarah Palin's relationship to the men in her life really is. She is subservient. All this shrill, you know, yelping at audiences is nothing but show. She dare not do, say, or think anything that she is not given permission to do, say, or think. That is just the nature of this cult to which she and her family belong. The kids, not of their choosing, obviously, but she and her husband and her extended family, the ones who are these religious nutcases, this is what the requirement is for admission. And what is given in return is the full and certain knowledge to these freaks that you are doing the cloud being's will, and therefore, after you die, you will be rewarded. Oh, my God. All right, let's go to your phone calls. Sean is calling from Vancouver, Washington, listening on KPOJ. Is that right, Sean?
That's right, Mike.
Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, maybe Sarah and her husband can take Hank Paulson and Ben Bernanke out to ride snow machines, and they'll figure out how to keep that trillion-dollar insurance company from going bankrupt tomorrow.
Yeah, that's going to be the news tomorrow. It just it's not going to stop.
They say it's more than twice the size of Lehman Brothers, and Washington Mutual might go too. So,
yeah.
But anyway, Mike, the reason I called was that, you know, we're watching this catastrophe unfold, but perhaps there's a silver lining in it in that, you know, people are finally going to become radicalized again. I mean, this whole free market laissez-faire ideology is just so played out.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that came to my mind was maybe Obama could get rid of those University of Chicago creeps that he's got advising him on economics. I think it's Austin Goolsbee and Jason Furman.
Mm-hmm.
And hire someone like, you know, Robert Kuttner from the Economic Policy Institute, or even Doug Henwood. I mean, I think that guy's brilliant. I've
right.
got his book, Wall Street. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
I agree. I hope that Barack Obama is not going to be chained by the neoliberal advisors out of the Chicago School of Economics that he seems to have associated himself with right now, because, you know, neoconservatism is fascism under a different name, but neoliberalism says that free and unfettered markets are the answer to all the programs. That's what caused the Russians to re-hate us, is because when their system collapsed, we had certain people who went in there with this neoliberal point of view.
Shock therapy, right?
Yeah, the so-called shock therapy. Sure, it was shock. It wasn't shock to us, but it was damn sure shock to the people of the old Russia that was part of the Soviet Union. It was so shocking that life expectancy in that country has dropped by, what, 20 years over the past two decades?
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that Obama, I agree with you about Kuttner. How about Paul Krugman?
Hey,
how about There are people who, economists, whether they're economists who write for the New York Times or not, who certainly understand that neoliberalism can be as poisonous as neoconservatism. And so far, all that I know so far is that Barack Obama has surrounded himself with these neoliberals. So I hope that that turns out to be not the case.
Mike, I know you rarely have guests, but just out of curiosity, even on Democracy Now, nobody is having any Marxists on, you know, like someone from Monthly Review, just to get their take on this whole thing. Would you see any value in something like that?
I've often thought about getting some of the writers from World Socialist website, WSWS.org, to come on, but never have.
Okay.
And I have, if somebody can email me, you or anyone, email me a suggested name and a way to get in touch with. I'm not too interested in the old line, what am I trying to say here? The old line Marxists that were around in the 30s and the 40s. I think they have a failed system, as evidenced by what happened. But, someone with a, neo-Marxist approach, if there is such a word.
Or
the neo-socialist. It doesn't have to be a Marxist. It can be somebody who is a purebred, absolute, complete, no-holds-barred socialist. I'd love to have one.
Mike, how do you feel about Hugo Chavez and Evo Morales and what's going on down there?
It's kind of the chickens coming home to roost. As Stokely Carmichael said, we have used Central and South America as a playground where we could exploit and take and rape and loot and pillage for two centuries, a century and a half, and especially in the 60s and 70s and into the 80s, and I think the people of Latin America have had enough. Hence the and we're still trying to do it. We're trying to overthrow Evo Morales. We're trying to overthrow Chavez. God only knows, Lula will probably be next, because Brazil, you see, has this huge discovery of oil, off their coast. And, you know, nobody's allowed to have oil except us.
Yeah.
So, I'm all for, the kind of mixed economy that I think these governments of South America are trying to put in place. They have the small kind of Jeffersonian entrepreneurship, I guess would be the right word, but the huge industries that should be regulated by the government, controlled by the government, are controlled by the government. I wish we had it in this country. I've said before, transportation, energy, and medical care in our country should be a function of government. Just completely, very easily done if we had the right kind of thinkers in our government. So
instead we have all of these representatives from Goldman Sachs. I mean, you know, Hank Paulson and Robert Rubin. I mean, Clinton basically was taking his orders from Robert Rubin. I mean, the Glass-Steagall Act and all that stuff.
Well, that's more of that neoliberalism that Clinton, that's the reason Clinton was so adamant about signing off on NAFTA.
Mm-hmm.
And getting that happening. Hey, listen, I got to leave it there.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
All right, Sean, thanks.
Have a good night.
All right, you
later.
Too. I appreciate you checking in. Time for a break? It is time for a break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
When I need some company, you got that mystery. Lord, I need a plan. All I got is this.
That luxury jet was over the top. I put it on eBay.
Yeah, you did, didn't you, sweetie, huh? 8 minutes before the hour, Mike is calling from Chicago, listening on the Internet. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, what's going on? Haven't talked to you in a while.
No, you haven't. How you been?
Oh, I've been busy at work, so I finally got a day off, and I says, I got to give you a call.
Well, I wanted to,
first of all, have I mentioned how much I hate these people tonight?
You just did.
But I wanted to ask your opinion about this, because I'll be the first to admit that I don't have enough knowledge about this topic to even have a pro or con opinion, but I don't want to sound like Alex Jones, but isn't it kind of strange how the government's starting to buy up all the big major mortgage companies? And they aren't they going to be able to say who gets loans, how much they can charge for loans? In other words, isn't it going to be a monopoly by the government?
I don't think I think we're probably let me phrase this right, because in a system that functions smoothly, that uses capitalism at its as its basic system of doing business, you've got to have government control, government oversight. You've got to have government say you can charge X percent of interest, and if you go beyond that, you are violating usury laws, and then they go ahead and pass usury laws. So I think government serves a very good function. It is the brake on predatory capitalism. Now, you said Alex Jones, right? Alex, I've been on his program. I know who he is. He's a libertarian, and he figures that all government is bad, which I completely disagree with. So you may be asking the wrong person here to comment on Alex Jones' position, because it is purely libertarian. And I mean hardcore libertarian, where...
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to come off as sounding like that whole NWO thing, you know,
right?
What I'm saying? But it's just kind of strange how, and as we speak, in front of me on my monitor, I've got this article from this, it's about a two-line article. It just says, the takeover of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac places enormous power in the hands of the new regulator, which is the Federal Housing Finance Agency, that is now in firmly control of two mortgage finance companies which own or guarantee $5 trillion in home loans.
Well, but the thing that the libertarians leave out is in a working system, we control who it is that winds up as a regulator by controlling who we put into office, by controlling who we vote for. So the power ultimately rests with the people, and I think this is what the libertarians leave out. Government is not some alien entity. It is put together, it is organized around principles that the voters, the population, decides are the principles that they want to be in play. Now, if 60% of us stay home and don't vote, and the other 40% keep getting fooled about these lying goddamn Democrats, well, then, or Republicans, then, well, what do we wind up with? You know, you get the kind of government that you deserve. You get the kind of government that you allow to occur by inaction, by disinterest, by being distracted by garbage. Government and you know, the organizing principles that people govern themselves with have got to be principles that put a check on corporatism or capitalism, if that's the system we're going to use. And it also has to be there has to be a balance of power within the government. This is what I was just talking about a few minutes ago. Without the regulatory agencies, without checks and balances within the government, you have fascism, you have corporatism, you have dictatorship. So
basically, deregulation is the worst enemy of it.
Oh, yeah.
And now, how does that affect eminent domain, though? Because if they own the mortgage to your house, if they decide to build a strip mall, can't they say, sorry, we got your house?
Well, usually eminent domain is determined by local forms of government, a city, a county, in some instances, a state. I don't know. I can tell you this: on my property, the federal government can't come by unless, unbeknownst to me, there's some kind of a mineral lease has been given to somebody. But they can't come by and say, Malloy, you know, we're going to move your property line back 100 yards so we can put in a oil pipeline. It can't be done. My county might be able to tell me that, but I determine who are the county commissioners. You see, it all comes back, and I have to leave it there, Mike, because I'm flat out of time. Thanks a lot, pal. It all comes back to how we decide we're going to be governed, because we do make that decision. One way or the other, we make that decision.
story in your eyes. It's been shining down upon me now.
Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. And have I mentioned yet, we certainly would like to invite you to join the Nova M Radio Founders Club for $100 a year or $10 a month. You can access commercial-free podcasts of this program. And I think Randy Rose program, too. You can listen to your favorite Nova M program on your own schedule, in other words. And you'll also receive exclusive access to Nova M event videos and something that we have up there called Malloy's Uncensored Mailbag, which is it's a video. It usually runs a couple, 3 minutes. We do it every week, just about every week, where I just share with you the kinds of emails that Christian Republicans send to me. Trust me, they are uncensored. As a matter of fact, I've got a new one up today we just put up this evening. So if you are a founding member, the latest Malloy cartoon is up there. If you're not, you should join. Most of all, you'll have the satisfaction in knowing that you're doing your part to support Progressive Talk Radio. In this sad, falling-apart country, you'll be keeping one more outlet on the air and away from the neocon media. That's a good feeling. It really is. So what I'm asking you to do is go ahead and visit NovaMradio.com and check out how to become a Founding Club member. Like I said, it's $100 a year or $10 a month. And one nice thing about this, I have done this twice, and yes, I have to pay for it just like everybody else. I do get a discount though. I've given two of these as birthday gifts, so not to participate in the greed fest known as Christ Mass. Might make a good Christmas gift. It's up to you, but regardless of the gift thing. If you can afford to do it, if you can't afford to do it, God knows we understand at Nova M, but we're looking for that kind of support that the progressive community is capable of giving the liberal community. We have several thousand founding members now, and we're looking to increase that. So give it some thought, okay? We would love to have you join NovaMradio.com. That's where you go to get the information, to become a Founding Club member. Your subscription will make sure that Nova M continues to do what we think we do pretty well. So consider it, okay? And what I'm thinking about doing is cutting a commercial for this. Essentially, it's what I just said. So if you hear what sounds like an endless repetition of this, forgive me, but we think it's important where it concerns Nova M. So probably in the next 24 hours, we're going to write a little 30 or 60-second spot. Hell, I might even have ask Kathy to do one, too, to put out there as a reminder. All right? Consider it. NovaMradio.com is where you can get the information. And there are some goodies that come as a result of your becoming a Founding Club member. It's $100 a year, 10 bucks a month. So consider it. Will you do that? Thank you. Appreciate it. Back to your phone calls here. Nick is calling from Bay City, Michigan, listening on the Internet. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing tonight?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay, except let me tell you my situation and what's on my mind tonight. I have a neighbor who has never voted anything other than Democrat for years and years, but this year she's voting McCain simply because Obama is black.
Sure.
Now, I have a friend who's voting McCain simply because Obama is black.
Mm-hmm.
Now, quite. I just fear that race is going to play a much bigger role in this race than people think it is. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, there's no question. We do live in a racist society. It has improved because we no longer classify one racial group as slaves. We also have legal guarantees now for equal treatment under the law. But yeah, America is a racist country. It has always been a racist country. It will probably be a racist country with racist attitudes for quite some time until finally, and this is coming rather quickly, the Caucasian race is no longer the dominant race. I think in what are the estimates in 2040 or 2045? Whites will become a minority. It'll be a majority minority. In other words, there will be more white people than any other single racial group. But the other racial groups, the non-Caucasians, will outnumber the Caucasians. That may change some Caucasian attitudes. Yes, there's a very good chance that the people who are focused only on race will vote race and will say, no, I'm not voting for a colored guy or a black man or whatever word they want to use. I've had an interesting thing happen to me, and that is when I listen to Obama, or even now it's getting to the point when I see him, I'm not seeing him as anything other than an American, which stuns me because I was brought up a racist. I have lived as a racist. I'm part of a racist society. I have thought like a racist. And now, which is not to say that I haven't struggled against it for the past, maybe 40 years, but it's still in there. And it's a bitch trying to get it out. It really is trying to nullify it or neutralize it. And I said this a couple of months ago, when I hear Obama now on radio or television, I'm not looking at the television. I just hear a guy who wants to be president. I don't hear a black man trying to be president. I hear a man wanting to be president. And I found that to be just one of those little epiphanous moments for me, like, Jesus Christ, Malloy, you mean you're finally starting to get over it? and I think that really has happened. Now it's to the point where when I see him come out and take over a stage and start giving one of his campaign speeches, it's harder and harder for me to, not that I'm trying, but it's harder and harder for me to say, good, black man's going to give the speech. I hope the black man wins. It's leaving me. And I'm so grateful that that is happening. Now, that is not to say that I'm not still a racist, because I am. And again, I continue to struggle against it. But there are a lot of people who are overtly or covertly racist, who can't confront it, can't deal with it. And these are Caucasians who will, like these two people you mentioned, who will not vote. They wouldn't vote for Jesus. God forbid they find out that Jesus was dark. You know, which he was. If he was a Semite who wandered around the deserts of the Middle East, what the hell did they think he looked like? Swedish?
That's right. You're absolutely correct.
Of course Jesus was dark. The disciples were dark. The guy who carried the cross to Golgotha, Simon of Cyrene, was an actual African. I mean, what would these people do when they find out that their avatar of God happens to be a black man? They would go out of their skulls. They wouldn't be able to handle it, you know. So, race is going to play a role here, Nick. There's just no way to get around it. And that's a sad commentary on us 350 years after we started condemning people to slavery, but it's still there.
All right. Well, thanks for taking my call, Mike.
You bet. Appreciate it, Nick. All right. Take care. I don't know how else to answer that. I really don't. White people have a teaching moment here, as they call it, I guess, or a moment in which they can be taught something. And it's just a bloody ass shame that so many white people are not going to take advantage of this teaching moment. If you want to get really funky with it, you know, what about these white people that, are they aware that Barack Obama's mom was white and that his dad was an African? There you go. For the Caucasians that can't handle the whole black thing, how about a half black thing? Can you handle it? No, never mind. Nah, can't be done.
the state of Alaska. Let us pray for God's will to be done here. Just, you know, a praying for an outpouring of God's spirit here, that revival to be here in Alaska.
Don't forget the pipeline. 21 past the hour. Back to your phone calls. Greta is calling from Joliet, Illinois, listening on Sirius. Hey, Greta.
Hi. Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Hi. Good. First time calling. I just got a question, well, a couple. Just the reason why the media won't go after Sarah Palin the way they did Hillary Clinton.
Well, I'm not sure I agree with the idea that the media went after.
I'm not saying they did. I think they covered Clinton just as well as they covered Obama, Edwards, McCain, and all of that. But, you know, some of these women think that they went after her. I'm not one that thinks that way. But my question is, why aren't they digging deeper and deeper into the, what this woman has done in Alaska?
Well, I think it's being done. It's just not being done on television.
That's my question. Why not?
Probably because the corporate media or the corporate owners of television.
So in other words, can we get?
I don't know. I get. Wait a minute. Give me a second here. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of an answer. The corporate ownership of these television networks have probably warned all their employees. You know, we're highly visible. People watch. They get inflamed. We don't want you criticizing Sarah Palin so that we're accused of picking on her because she's a woman or not being fair because she's a Republican. Whereas print medium, a huge percentage of the nation's respected daily newspapers now are starting to really challenge Sarah Palin and McCain, but especially Palin on her lies. Television, I'm not sure why, except the same old reason that it's a highly visible corporate-owned medium, and they're cowards.
That's my question. Doesn't anybody who respects themselves as a journalist have any kind of gumption to say, hey, you know what, this woman lied?
I think some journalists are doing it, but you don't find journalists on television.
You know, let's speak the truth. This woman is a liar. And my other question is, and not to pick on the poor child, because, you know, you should never pick on a child, but that baby's older than any 4 months. And if that baby was premature, that prematures don't gain weight easily.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. As far as the child is concerned, Greta, it's sad that Palin has decided to trot out her special needs baby, I believe is the right term, her pregnant daughter, I believe that's the correct term, and her off to Iraq or go to jail son, I believe that's the right term, and then bitch and whine and moan and bleed and get all pissy when media. Comment or write about, not television, but when print medium writes about this family. It is a dysfunctional family, and not because of the Down syndrome child by any means, but everything else is a clear indication that this family is really screwed up. I mean, it's just, especially when you consider that underlying all of their other problems is this cult that they all belong to. The children, I would assume, had no choice. They were forced into this cult. But mommy and daddy are Christianists of the worst sort who have the, you know, you listen to Sarah Palin talking about war with Russia. Oh, okay. Yeah, probably. You know, I mean, that is somebody who has no understanding of what she just said, and B understands it from a very limited biblical point of view, and it's not in the Bible, but it's what has been force-fed into her head that the battle, the great final battle between the forces of darkness and the forces of the goodness has got to occur in order for Jesus to be very happy and come sliding down the pile of corpses and all the blood and the gore and the dead people. This is sick. This is a mental a mental aberration, an illness, a sickness. I'm sure it's somewhere in the DSM-4. It's a diagnosable condition, and it should be treated. I frankly think that Sarah Palin and people like her need powerful antipsychotic drugs. I mean, these people believe that there are creatures flying around in the sky who have influence over what happens here on Earth, winged creatures. And then somewhere up there in the clouds or in the ether, there's this place where there's streets made of gold and there are dead people, only they're not really dead. And there's one big dude who oversees all this. And, that is a diagnosable mental condition.
Dude, is he riding a snowmobile?
A cloudmobile.
And if you like it, it will come to pass.
Bill, it says in God we trust, so we ask his help in everything we do. Now we got freedom of religion, I reckon that means that we must tolerate the atheist and Jew.
What comes from this church, I think, has great destiny. You guys are all a bunch of cool-looking Christians also. I just want to bless you and...
We think his Bible should be taught in every nation.
And what?
And we'll bomb anyone who doesn't feel the same. Welcome to Jesus' land.
It's about
love that neighbor if that neighbor's
26 before the hour. Did you see the survey? I had it here in front of me here. It was... questions asked of people around the world about who they want to be president of the United States, and the massive, uncountable, overwhelming majority are looking to the United States to elect Barack Obama. And I'm kind of afraid that if we don't, I mean, this is just a sidebar to the election, because most Americans don't care. Although that's the wrong attitude, don't care what other people think. Most Americans have never traveled overseas, don't have a clue about so many aspects of how we're seen. Here it is. This is from from The Guardian of the UK. Jonathan Friedland. And the headline is, an American that disdains Obama, not the headline, but the first sentence, an American that disdains Obama for his global support risks turning current anti-Bush feeling into something far worse. The feeling is familiar, Friedland writes. I had it 4 years ago and 4 years before that, a sinking feeling in the stomach. It's a kind of physical pessimism which says it's happening again. The Democrats are about to lose an election. They should win. And it could not matter more. But anyway, Friedland goes on to say, look at yesterday's opinion polls. And this was written on the 12th, which had John McCain either in a dead heat with Obama or narrowly ahead. Given the well-documented tendency of African-American candidates to perform better in polls than in elections, thanks to people who say they will vote for a black man but don't, this suggests Obama is now trailing badly. More troubling was the ABC News Washington Post survey, which found McCain ahead among white women, 53% to 41%. 2 weeks ago, Obama had a 15% lead among women. There's only one explanation for that turnaround, and it was not McCain's tranquilizer of a convention speech. Obama's lead has been crushed by the Palin bounce. It's... It's pretty bad. If Sarah, he goes on to say, if Sarah Palin defies the conventional wisdom that says elections are determined by the top of the ticket and somehow wins this for McCain, what would be the reaction? Yes, blue state America will go into mourning once again, feeling estranged in its own country. A generation of young Americans who back Obama in big numbers will turn cynical, concluding that politics doesn't work after all. And most depressing, many African Americans will decide that if Barack Obama, with all his conspicuous gifts, could not win, then no black man can ever be elected president. He goes on to say, but what of the rest of the world? This is the reaction I fear most, for Obama has stirred an excitement around the globe unmatched by any American politician in living memory. Polling in Germany, France, Britain, and Russia shows that Obama would win by whopping majorities, with the pattern repeated in Africa, Asia, the Middle East, and Latin America. If November 4th were a global ballot, Obama would win it handsomely. If the free world could choose its leader, it would be Barack Obama. The crowd of 200,000 that rallied to hear him in Berlin in July did so not only because of his charisma, but also because they know he, like the majority of the world's population, opposed the Iraq war. McCain supported it, peddling the lie that Saddam was linked to 9/11. Non-Americans sense that Obama will not ride roughshod over the international system, but will treat alliances and global institutions seriously. McCain wants to bypass the UN in favor of a U.S.-friendly League of Democracies. If Americans choose McCain, they will be turning their back on the rest of the world, choosing to show us four more years of the Bush-Cheney finger. And I predict a deeply unpleasant shift. Until now, anti-Americanism has been exaggerated and much misunderstood. Outside, a leftist hardcore, it has mostly been anti-Bushism, opposition to this specific administration. But if McCain wins in November, that might well change. Suddenly, Europeans and others will conclude that their dispute is with not only one ruling clique, but Americans themselves. For it will have been the American people, not the politicians, who will have passed up a once-in-a-generation chance for a fresh start the world is yearning for. And the manner of that decision will matter, too. If it is deemed to have been about race, that Obama was rejected because of his color, the world's verdict will be harsh. In that circumstance, Slate's Jacob Weisberg wrote recently, international opinion would conclude that, quote, the United States had its day, but in the end couldn't put its own self-interest ahead of its crazy irrationality over race, end quote. Even if it's not ethnic prejudice, but some other aspect of the culture wars that proves decisive, the point still holds. For America to make a decision as grave as this one, while the planet boils, and with the U.S. fighting two wars, on the trivial basis that a hockey mom is likable and seems down to earth, would be to convey a lack of seriousness, a fleeing from reality, that does indeed suggest a nation in, to quote Weisberg, historical decline. Let's not forget, McCain's campaign manager boasts that this election is not about the issues. Of course, I know, Friedland concludes, that even to mention Obama's support around the world is to hurt him. Incredibly, that large Berlin crowd damaged Obama at home, branding him as the candidate of Europe and making him seem less of a patriotic American. But what does that say about today's America? That the world's esteem is now unwanted. If Americans reject Obama, they will be sending the clearest possible message to the rest of us. And make no mistake, we shall hear it. Yeah. You know this. Every person in this country who still has a bit of an ability to think clearly knows that Obama and Biden are so more qualified than McCain, Palin to lead the country. Now, the unknown here is with what the Republicans have done to us over the past 25 years, is the country still governable, manageable? But you know in your heart that the McCain and Palin are no more qualified than your stupid-ass next-door neighbor, the one that you can't stand, the one on the other side of the house that you can't stand. You know who I'm talking about. I've got one, too. And you also know, I don't care what your race is, you also know that Obama, Biden are desperately needed. Desperately. Just like the article by Jonathan Friedland that appeared in The Guardian of the UK. You know that this country needs their leadership. You know, like Friedland says, that the world is watching. And for the Caucasian Americans who give the world the finger and say, we don't care about you, you know, we're going to build a wall around our whole country. You know, you people are crazy. You're squirrely as hell. I'm ashamed. I am just absolutely blushingly ashamed to be part of the same racial or ethnic group as you, you people. You turn my stomach. I mean, you really do. You really do. You don't care what the rest of the world thinks. And this is not like caring what your goofy cousin thinks about your new girlfriend. This is way beyond that. So the long way around to the caller's question. Yeah, there is a very good chance that race is going to be the factor that defeats Obama. Because the majority, and I'll say this, I realize I'm making a statement that I can't back up, but I'm going to say it anyway. The majority of Caucasian Americans are still unable, they're unable to consider the experience and the history and the ability to lead and whatever else you want to say about Americans of African descent. It's just impossible for them. And it's not because they're stupid. It's because they are ignorant and bigoted and foolish.
Job is the law, job is the law. You fit the description of a criminal crosser. Hey, we believe that he is you, and that is your flaw, that is your flaw, that is your flaw, that is your flaw, that is your flaw. And they say, open up, we're coming inside. You can't run, so you might as well hide. We got the place covered from head to toe, head to toe. Open up, we're coming inside. What's it be?
Ten before the hour. 10 before midnight here in the East. Thanks to our technical staff, Ian Huff, Billy Foster, and Ben Birch. Also our non-technical gang of contributors, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf. And our executive producer is Catherine Bay. Don't forget, please consider becoming a Nova M Founders Club member. Free downloads and podcasts when you want them. By the way, there's a Malloy swag available, too. Is there anything up for Randy yet? Is there? T-shirts and tote bags and stuff? Okay, there's that. Well, you don't have to be a member to get that, but you can get some of that stuff if you want it. The videos, the special videos that that Nova M posts, I do one every week, we try to make it every week. It's Mumb, MUMB, Malloy's Uncensored Mailbag, that is pretty hairy. I mean, if you are adverse to sexual innuendo and bad language, don't look at them, especially the one that we put up today.
And when you say bad language, you often mean bad grammar.
Yeah, well, I mean cursing of the most guttery sort that comes in emails from good Republican Christians who hate my program. That's where all this stuff comes from. So, and some of it is very amusing. I'll read this stuff, and Kathy documents it, and then we put it up on the internet or up on the web, or I'm sorry, on the Nova AM website. And I'll go back and take a look at it because I'm a founding club member. And sometimes I laugh my ass off, even though it's me doing it. You know, when I see it up there, it cracks me up. Other times I just slink away in absolute monumental embarrassment that I actually put something like that out there for public consumption. Well, not completely public consumption because you have to be a founding club member, but there's all sorts of bonuses. We are in the middle of I almost feel like I'm on NPR. It's not a pledge drive, but we are actively seeking new founding club members right now. And I think there's going to be, I think we're around 5,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000. When we hit 10,000 subscribers, there's going to be something. We're still working on it. We're thinking about an all-expense-paid trip from wherever you are to here in Atlanta to have some kind of a big feast with Kathy and me at a very expensive restaurant, or maybe with Randy in Lauderdale. Is that where Randy is? Or maybe some midway point where we all get together. I don't know. Something. It'll be something good. So check us out. We'd love to have you become a founding member. And it's also extremely important to guarantee the continuation of Nova M Broadcasting. It helps, is what I'm trying to say. Ann is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening on 92.1 The Mic. Hey, Ann.
Hi. Commercial. Hi. First point. I've got 3 points. The first point is, according to Ian, if you're not on the Internet and you want to become a founding member, write to 824 East Washington Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85034. Now, you don't get the $10 a month deal, apparently. You do have to pony up with $100,
mm-hmm.
but you're a member.
Cool. Well, thanks. Thanks for the commercial.
And the second point is I had called a few weeks ago about Robert Kuttner, who wrote a few calls ago, someone mentioned
yes.
his name, The Squandering of America's Prosperity.
Right.
I would so love it if you would attempt to get him on your program to explain the current mess that we're in. Now, he said his basic point is that Wall Street has a hammer lock on the political process, which leaves most of us out.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple months ago, you had Mark Crispin Miller on the program.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he said, Wall Street is not a solid front. It's divided.
Mm-hmm.
And it would appear with Palin coming into the mix that the neocons have found a way to offset the traditionalists and the traditional elites. And I would really mm-hmm. love to have either Mark Crispin Miller or Robert Kuttner
mm-hmm.
explain to us just how this is going to affect us.
You know, thanks for the suggestion. Another guest, Ann, that might give us that kind of insight also would be Paul Krugman from the New York Times.
Oh, yes, and he was on Oberman tonight.
Oh, was he?
Yes, well, Jeffrey Paul... Robert Kuttner and Jeffrey Full are sort of the three embattled mm-hmm. Musketeers
right.
of the liberal economic faction.
Mm-hmm.
And they all know one another and they're people that I think we can trust in terms of explaining to us the way CNBC does not.
Right.
Just what is happening to us and what we might expect from this really scary phenomenon we're caught in.
Yeah, that's an excellent suggestion, and those names, and I do appreciate it. We so seldom have guests and guests on the program, and in certain fields of study, we should do it more often. We'll check it out. Thank you, Ann. Thanks to everybody for hanging out tonight. We do appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.